Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded November 18th, 2018. This week's sermon, Jesus Be the Lord of My Personality, Gratitude, by Kerry Eck.
75-year-old Ron Steeden from Brewster, Massachusetts, was already fighting emphysema when his health took a turn for the worse in the year 2010. Steeden began experiencing prolonged periods of coughing spells. His breathing became more difficult and he had no energy. By the time Steeden was admitted to a hospital in May of 2010, he feared the worst. He had a collapsed left lung and pneumonia. And when x-rays revealed a small dark spot in his lung, he thought he had cancer. And yet, two separate biopsies came back negative for lung cancer. So surgery was scheduled. And what doctors found instead was a pea that somehow had been inhaled down Ron Steeden's windpipe instead of swallowed down his throat. And in the warm, moist environment of Ron Steeden's lung, it began to grow. And as you can expect, once it was removed, his health improved dramatically. Now, he laughed about that. He said his very first meal after the surgery included peas as the main vegetable. Steeden jokingly remarked that if it had fully grown in his lung, he might have had to have applied for work with the Jolly Green Giant. And yet, even though Ron Steeden could laugh afterwards about this growing garden inside of him, he was seriously thankful to know that he would not die from lung cancer. I suspect most of us can recall times in our past when we also were prepared for bad news. And when one unexpectedly receives good news instead, it is a time for celebration. And as we turn our thoughts this week towards Thanksgiving, we would be wise to remember that Thanksgiving is more than an American and a national holiday. It is a uniquely Christian holiday. True thanksgiving answers the Apostle Paul's question, what do you have that you did not receive from God with one word? Nothing. It all came from God. True thanksgiving is an attitude that a Christian desires to display 365 days of the year and not just one day. True thanksgiving is grateful not just when good things go our way, but grateful for the good God who goes the way with us through every experience, the good ones and the bad. Much of Jesus' 3+ years of public ministry were spent in the region around the Sea of Galilee and Capernaum. There, located on the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, was his primary home base. And in today's text, Jesus is leaving Galilee for the last time. Now, many of us can remember what it's like when we're leaving a home we've lived in for many years, or we're leaving a place of employment where we've worked for many years, and we're doing so for the last time. Jesus is leaving Galilee for the last time. He's headed toward Jerusalem. He does so on the direct route through Samaria. And he knows that he has there in Jerusalem an appointment with death on the Roman cross. Now, most Jews preferred to detour around Samaria rather than walking right through it. Most Jews viewed Samaritans as dogs because they were a mixed race of both Jewish blood and Gentile blood. And while we think little today of races and nationalities marrying and reproducing, it was a big deal to these supremely proud Jewish people. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to pick up there the story in Luke chapter 17, and I'm going to start with verse 11. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." Let's take out our outlines there. And we see in verses 11 through 14 that grace comes to many. Now, the word grace is defined as an unmerited, undeserved favor from God. It can either refer to a specific act of forgiveness or a set of blessings. And the reality this morning is this: all of us have been the recipients of God's grace, some form of His grace at some time or another, and none of us deserves any favor, any blessings from God that we have ever received. That's the reality. Leprosy was a term given to a variety of skin diseases that are described in the Bible. Some types of leprosy were curable. Other types of leprosy resulted in death. Because some of them were contagious, the Old Testament was very specific as to how people were to deal with lepers. Lepers were separated from their families. They had no jobs. They were dependent upon the generosity and the kindness of others for their food, their clothing, their shelter. Lepers were isolated from people in villages or communities. They were to shout out their presence when they saw somebody approaching who was not a leper. They were to let them know that they were close. Now, the Gospels record for us on several occasions that Jesus healed many lepers during his ministry. So as he's walking through Samaria, about to come into a village, 10 lepers shout out to him on the outskirts of town, "Master! Master! Have mercy upon us!" Let me digress just for a second. You remember the first time that Jesus and Nathanael met? Jesus' very first words to Nathanael were this: "Ah, here is a true Israelite in whom there is no fault." Now, Nathanael was confused because he's like, "Have we ever met? How do you know me?" And Jesus says, "Nathanael, I saw you sitting under the fig tree before Philip ever invited you to come and meet me." And the reason I share that is this: Jesus Christ already knows everything about you and I. Everything. He knows our physical appearance, and He knows our physical condition. He knows where we are at all times. He knows what we are thinking at all times. In fact, Jesus knows what we're going to say before we even say it. And while that may embarrass some, to others it's an encouragement. Because Jesus Christ loves us not because of who we are, not because of what we've done. Jesus Christ loves us in spite of who we are. He loves us in spite of what we've done. So Jesus knew everything about these 10 lepers before he had ever met them, before they had ever cried out to him for mercy. Because Jesus already sees our condition, because Jesus already knows our needs, he is often moved to compassion. Because some forms of leprosy are indeed curable, the Mosaic law entrusted priests with the responsibility of determining whether someone with leprosy was in fact clean of their disease and therefore free to mingle with others or not. On this occasion, Jesus could have instantly healed these lepers. He had done so many occasions before. But instead, he gave them a command. if they had the faith to do what Jesus told them to do, they would be healed. To their credit, none of them balked at Jesus' orders. None of them complained. None of them said, what is that all about? Come on, Lord, if you really loved me, you would heal me right here, right now. But the interesting thing is that our story tells us they were healed before they ever got to the priest, even though Jesus said, go to the priest. It was on the way to see the priest. When Jesus saw they were willing to do and what he had called them to do, that they were healed. All 10 of them received God's grace. All 10 of them were healed of their leprosy. All 10 of them had cause to be thankful to God for what had happened. And what was true 2,000 years ago is still true today. Jesus Christ knows me and he knows you as surely as he knew those 10 lepers, as surely as he knew Nathaniel. He knows our needs. He knows our hurts. He knows our experiences, the good ones and the bad ones, the pleasant ones and the unpleasant ones. And Jesus has as much compassion upon you and I as he did upon them. And the reality is all of us, at some time or another, have been the recipients of God's grace and God's blessings, whether we realize it or not, whether we acknowledge it or not. And I know sometimes there is the temptation to get mad at God. I know sometimes we question. We've all been in that situation. Why, God, did you allow me to be hurt by those individuals? Why can't I seem to conquer this addiction? Why can't I find a job? Why can't we have children? Why don't my children love me? Why don't my parents love me? God doesn't promise to give us everything we want, but Scripture does assure us he promises to give us everything we need. And he promises us that even as we go through these trials and these troubles we're going to experience in this temporary life, even though we go through them, he does promise that he's going to be right there with us in the midst of whatever pain and hurt, whatever trials and troubles that we find ourselves in. And what we learn in the midst of those trials and those troubles is that his presence and his power are the perfect antidote we need to face every problem. I'm not asking you to believe me. I'm telling you to believe him. Because he's the one that has made those promises, and God doesn't break a promise that he's made to us. Never. Now, I understand. Rain oftentimes falls on us, and storms oftentimes hit us who are righteous as surely as they fall upon those who are evil. And I get it. Sometimes the sun shines on those who are evil, and good things happen to those who are evil as surely as they do to those who are good. You see, the reality is God wants everyone to be saved. He shines his favor on all of us from time to time, even though none of us deserves it. We don't always know why things happen the way they do, but we trust that God knows what he's doing. And we see his goodness even in the biggest of messes that we find ourselves in. And then we discover in verses 15 through 19 that joy comes to few. Even though grace comes to many, joy comes to few. Now, joy is defined as a state of happiness or great delight or pleasure. And while happiness is oftentimes associated with when things are going our way, joy is much deeper. Joy is the assurance that God is in control even when things aren't so pleasant. James put it like this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and perseverance will ultimately make us mature and complete. Now, James doesn't say if we face trials. He says when. He understands that we all are going to go through trials. In our story, 10 men had very little hope of escaping the imprisonment and the isolation of their leprosy. 10 men had every right to think they would never physically touch their family members again. 10 men had resigned themselves to dying a slow death. Are there any words that exist we can use to describe what those 10 individuals must have felt when they suddenly realized their leprosy was gone? They were clean. They were healed. Can we even begin to fathom the happiness, the joy they felt at that moment? All 10 were ecstatic, elated, excited. And with this brand new lease on life, how many of them returned to give thanks and show appreciation to the God who had healed them? One. 10 men had enough faith to receive what they wanted, their physical healing. Only one had the faith to receive what he needed, eternal, unspeakable joy that is within. 10 received physical healing. 1 received physical healing and spiritual cleansing. 1 found out that his health wasn't just physical in nature, it was also spiritual in nature. 1 found wholeness and joy. I think Paul might have been describing 21st century America when he wrote to his first century mentee, Timothy, these words that he said, these are the conditions. Here's what you're going to see in the last days prior to Christ's return. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. Ungrateful people assume others are obligated to help them. Ungrateful people use others to get what they want. Ungrateful people aren't looking for long-term solutions. They're just looking for short-term fixes. Ungrateful people are miserable people to be around. Desmond Tutu became famous for his opposition to apartheid in South Africa, which was a legal system of segregation. I think he nailed it when he wrote, and I'm quoting here, I have always been intrigued by the story of our Lord's healing the 10 lepers. I have thought that perhaps this gospel story points to a deeper leprosy in the spirit, the leprosy of ingratitude. To be unthankful and unappreciative is, in fact, to be diseased. To cleanse our spirits of depression, of self-pity, and other forms of spiritual leprosy, we have to be thankful, appreciative people. According to research published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology, one of my favorite magazines, and I read it every day, people who count their blessings every day show marked improvement not only in their mental health, but in their physical health. People with a grateful attitude sleep better, exercise more, and care more about other people. In other words, people who continually count their blessings, who don't waste their time complaining and groaning about everyone else, but instead spend their time praising God are the most pleasant people to be around because inside they're full of joy. I don't know if you saw the movie, The Miracle Season. It's based on the true story of Caroline Found, a senior at Iowa City West High School, volleyball player. Her team had won the state volleyball championship, I believe it was 2010 here in Iowa. And they were favored to win the championship a second year in a row, and Caroline unexpectedly died in a moped accident. About the same time, her mother died from cancer. First, Caroline's father was angry. I mean, I get that. I understand that. Why? Why, God, did this happen? And in time, he came to appreciate and thank God for the time that he had with both his wife and his daughter. It doesn't come easily. Doesn't usually come quickly. Someone has said, and I quote, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." Whether it's a friendship that ends unexpectedly or a job that suddenly comes to an end, a spouse or a child who is taken away from us too soon, let us thank God for any blessing and every blessing He gives us, however short or long it may be. Because I'm convinced the more that we praise Him, the more we grow. The more we appreciate those around us. Our nation was founded on that principle. I did not realize till this week, all 50 states begin their state constitution with words that are similar to those found in the Iowa Constitution, which says, "We the people of the state of Iowa, grateful to the Supreme Being for the blessings hitherto enjoyed, and feeling our dependence on Him for a continuation of these blessings," all 50 states acknowledge in their state constitutions that God has been, God is, and God always will be the source of our blessings. God appeared to Abraham. He said, "Listen, I'm going to bless you, Abraham, so that you can be a blessing to others. With this privilege is this responsibility. And we who have been blessed by God should let His light, His love shine through us, His grace and His goodness shine on those around them through our example." Oh, but Carrie, man, you don't realize how much I've struggled. You don't realize how much people have hurt me. You don't know how much pain I've been through. You don't realize the financial difficulties that I've had. To which I would say, none of us appreciates and understands fully the struggles that others have been through, but the reality is all of us have been through struggles. All of us have experienced dark times. And brothers and sisters, I don't know of any other way to combat Satan's lies than in the midst of my storms, in the midst of my problems, to praise God anyway. The psalmist reminds us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the world know what He has done. Tell everyone about His miracles. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. Ariadna Gutierrez, I hope I said that right, Miss Columbia, in the 2015 Miss Universe pageant. Some of you may remember this. She was declared Miss Universe in 2015 for 4 full minutes. Gutierrez wore the crown, accepted the adulation of the crowd, And just as she was about, this new Miss Universe is about to take her victory walk down the runway, Steve Harvey, the host, comes on stage and apologizes to the audience and the entire television audience that he had given the wrong winner. Apparently, Harvey had read the card wrong, and Miss Columbia was the first runner-up. Miss Philippines was the actual winner. I suspect there are many of us who can look at certain areas of our lives with disappointment that we fell just short of this goal or this dream and wish we would have attained it. But I wonder how much harder it is when someone thinks they've achieved this goal they have strived for so long. I wonder how much more difficult it is when you finally think you've grabbed onto something that you've wanted all of your life only to have it snatched away a few moments later. Now, rather than respond, as I think many would, with anger or bitterness, Miss Columbia expressed nothing but gratitude for the opportunity she had to be there. In a brief interview just after she exited the stage, Miss Columbia thanked her supporters and she said, and I quote, "Everything happens for a reason, so I'm happy. I want to thank you all for supporting me. Thank you for voting for me." And while there were 80 of the most physically beautiful women in the world who participated in that pageant that particular weekend, at least one demonstrated an unbelievable inner beauty. Miss Ariadna Gutierrez showed the whole world that it's not what happens to us that determines our destiny, it's how we respond to what happens to us that determines our destiny. And the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that real winners are people who give thanks to God in spite of their circumstances and trials, because believers in Jesus Christ trust God to know what He's doing. We're culminating a number of groups that have gone through the Rooted study tomorrow night with a praise and worship service here at New Hope, complete with baptisms and testimonies and praises to God. What a wonderful way, I think, to begin this week of thanksgiving to God. And I'll just tell you, I'll be in the baptistry tomorrow night, and there are some here who have yet to even say thank you to God by giving their lives totally over to Him. And if you're one of them and it's time to get it done, then following the conclusion of our service, I'll be over in the patio. And I'd love for you to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. Each week we come and we participate in the communion. And you know, a big part of that is just our way of saying thank you to God, who willingly gave up His Son, who went through persecution and brutality so that you and I might be forgiven and spend eternity with Him. So as we come to this time of communion today, let us, as we partake of these emblems, remember the goodness and the greatness and the love of our God. Let's pray. Lord God, whether we understand all of the things that happen in life or not, man, we trust You. For the reality is You have never let us down. The reality is You loved each and every one of us so much, You willingly gave up Your Son for our benefit. And as we partake of these emblems, we say, thank You, God. Here am I. Use me, send me to do Your will. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.